Father, we thank you that you are faithful. We thank you that your mercy endures forever. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley, the Bread of Life, the Living Water, the Good Shepherd. Lord, you've showed us so many pictures of who you are. And Father, we're reminded of what Jesus said. If you've seen me, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Lord, we thank you for this great gospel that has come to our lives, has changed us, and made us new creatures in Christ. We pray, Father, that you would just pour your Spirit upon us. We ask for that refreshment that comes from your Spirit that only can come from you. We ask, Lord, as we open up our hearts, that we would be full of you, less of us, more of you. We pray that you would anoint our ears and you would help me, Lord. Help me, Lord, to do what you want me to do. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, the other day, it's been about a week, I was talking with Daryl, and I said, Daryl, do you need much time between projecting the scriptures up on the wall? Do you need much lead time between the two? And he said, no, I really don't. He's quick. He's quick. Daryl's quick on the draw. So I mentioned to him, I said, well, Daryl, the NIV translation is in the system, right? You have the NIV translation in there. And he said, you know what? I actually have 35 different translations of the Bible in the system. I thought, I was astounded. I just was astounded. Are there 35 different English translations? And then he kind of corrected it. He said, well, I think there's about 31. And immediately when he said 31, I thought of Baskin-Robbins. 31 flavors. I thought of Baskin-Robbins, 31 flavors. And you know, we have 31 flavors of the Bible in our system. That's amazing. It's incredible. We are a blessed. We are a blessed people. We are a blessed nation. We are a blessed people. And not just because we have a lot of stuff, and we do. We have a lot of stuff. We have a lot of creature comforts. We have a lot of material things, but not primarily because of that, but primarily because the gospel light is here in this nation. The light of the Word, the light, the Jews would call it the Torah light, the light of the Torah. It reminds me of that psalm that says, your word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In Proverbs, the 14th chapter, it says that righteousness exalts a nation, but that sin is a reproach to any people. So from the beginning, from the inception of this nation, we have had the gospel everywhere. It's everywhere, isn't it? I mean, all the conceivable mediums are full. You can go on the internet 24 hours a day. You can download it. You get it on the television. You get it on the radio. We have 31 flavors right here. Everywhere you go, we have the gospel in this nation. And that's why we're blessed. Not for any other reason. Not because of our prowess or our ability to do what other nations can't do, or our military, or anything of that nature. But I just want to talk to you a little bit today about missions and kind of off the cuff and just kind of off the top of my head. And then later on, just let me explain to you a little bit of the agenda so you can relax after all your flying standby, right? So if towards the end, we could just save a little bit of time for prayer and we could pray for one another and so on. I know there are a lot of needs here, and I think it's good to spend time in prayer. But later on, we'll more formally get into the Word, but just let me off the cuff kind of explain to you a little bit about missions and why I think it's so important. We are a blessed nation, but you know, the United States of America is truly an anomaly, isn't it? In other words, it's not typical for this to be the light to be everywhere, for the Word of God to be just everywhere, you see. But, you know, the other day, it's been a couple of weeks, I was down in Mexico, and I was with a ministry called Spectrum, which is out of Claremont Emmanuel Baptist Church. And they are well established in Mexico. They've been there for decades. And we went down to minister to some children. And it was a poor barrio, even by Tijuana standards. And it was a good time in the Lord. I was in charge of the clothes. And I had this mound of clothes, and I was trying to match them up with the little guys that were coming along. And I had to move quick. And I was like, well, it looks like it'll fit you. But it worked. The Lord worked it out. But about 2 months prior to that, we went down with the same ministry as well, and we helped out just to make a little addition to their house. It was a family who had children, and one of their daughters was 13. Even though she was 13, she was confined to a crib, a big crib, but confined because she was an invalid. And the reason was because when she was born, there was too much oxygen given to her, and it damaged her brain. But these were great folks. I mean, they were just wonderful people. Loved being with them. The mom made us some lunch and all that sort of thing. And by the way, I'm not telling you all this just to present to you my resume. I'll send it in the mail. No, I'm telling you this because it's a vital part. It's an indispensable part of the Christian faith. If we want to have a vital faith, a living faith, outreach and missions and going beyond these four walls is indispensable. It's not optional. Yes, we can have a faith that says we're going to heaven, and that's wonderful. That's wonderful. But if we want a vibrant faith and an active faith and a faith that's growing, we need to have a heart that goes beyond these four walls. It's not an option. But, you know, again, I'll be as quick as I can, but my wife and I spent a lot of time in Mexico. We lived there for 9 months, just over in the Mexicali area, so not very far. And we helped bring up a church there back in the 90s. It's a vibrant church now. Last time we saw the pastor of that church, he did pass away. He was a former drug addict, but God really used that man. It was wonderful to see it. It was wonderful to see it. And he, eventually his past life, the abuse of his body caught up to him, and he went on to be with the Lord. But the church is still vibrant and growing and so on. And we did spend a lot of time in the prison over in Tijuana. Every Thursday or every week we would go across the border and we'd go into the prison there. And that's when it was on this side. Now it's on the other side of the mountains, the Ruma Rosa, over towards Mexicali. But when it was right in right across the border in Tijuana, we would go there every Thursday. It was a very interesting place to stay, the least. It was a big open courtyard, and there was just a mix of people in there, and there were children in there. There were wives, there were moms, there was men, of course, and so very interesting. Not like the prison over here. We did also go to Donovan, but completely different. Everything completely different. So why am I telling you this? Well, if you're anything like me, you long to see the gospel taken into dark places. You long to see that light of God go in to hopeless situations. It's something I think that just invigorates our faith like nothing else can. When you see that, when you see God's light penetrating the hearts of people and people responding to the Word of God, it's wonderful. It's great. There was a church inside. A lot of brothers had gotten saved when they were inside, a lot of the prisoners. And just by way of review, it occurs to me, by way of review, I should talk to you a little bit about the church. I'm sure all of you are scholars and you know about the church. It's not a building, right? Right? Okay, that's good. It's not an edifice per se, but what it is, it's the called out ones of God. You know, the original word is ecclesia. It's interesting in Espanol, iglesia, ecclesia. You can see the similarities. Amen? Okay, because it really does go back to ancient Rome. It was a secular word. It was never a churchy word. We kind of churched it up, but back when it was first used, it was the ecclesia. And you would actually be called out of the populace at large, or you would be called out from the general population, and you would be set aside. For instance, you would be like in the Senate of the Roman Empire. You would be in the ecclesia. You would be that branch or that group of people that were called out and set aside for the purpose of the emperor, for the purpose of the king, for the purpose of some constituents, but not there to represent yourself. So sometimes I think it really is important to grasp this. A church isn't just a collection of people. Amen? But it's the called out ones. It's the ones that have received the call of Christ and say, yes, I am for the purpose of God. I'm not here to represent myself. I represent the King, the Ecclesia, the church. Wonderful, wonderful group of people. Amen? So we would go in to the prison and we would go to minister to the church that was in there, because many had been saved, or several. It was a good sized group of people, and we would go and set up PAs, and it was very chaotic and people back and forth, so we really did have to project the message. Very interesting. But to see the light, to see the light going into dark places, again, if you're anything like me, you long to see the gospel fleshed out, worked out, fleshed out, coming in the flesh. It reminds me of Jesus, right? What does the Bible say about Jesus? That he is the Word become flesh from the very heart of God. You see, in the beginning was the Word, was the Logos, the very expression of God's heart. So when we see Jesus, and when we saw Jesus, we could see the Word of God being modeled perfectly. You see, God, our Father, could have said, hey, guys, you want more Torah? You know, no, we don't want more Torah. We got enough. How about some more prophets? Well, we don't really get along with them very well. That Isaiah guy, you know, he really beat us up. So he sent his Son. He fleshed it out. Amen? He fleshed it out. And in a truth and in a way, this is really when God manifests in us, when we flesh it out, when we flesh out the gospel, when we flesh out the Word of God. So oftentimes in these dark places is where it really is important to do that. So I think we are taking small steps towards that goal. I apologize profusely, and I'll tell you why, because that's supposed to be my job. I'm supposed to lead the way on this missions thing, and I've been here for a while. I've been here for a while, and it just seemed to me that maybe we weren't necessarily ready or inclined, or maybe it wasn't God's time, and that certainly could be an excuse, so I apologize. But the point is simply that I believe the Lord is moving, and I do believe that the Lord wants us to start in prayer. You might say, well, there's a lot of legitimate needs here. There's a lot of legitimate needs in the community. Scripture says Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. So you may say, well, look, man, we haven't really done much in Jerusalem. That's okay. You still want to have the heart that says eventually the uttermost parts of the world, the heart that says that, you see. So I believe it's time to pray. I believe it's time to seek the Lord. I believe it's time to ask God, what does He want from us as a people that are missions-oriented, that are outreach-oriented, that would want to see other people impacted by the light of the Word of God, somehow become participants. Maybe not all go. In fact, the Scripture says that, but some are sent. There's prayer, always to pray. So, by the way, yesterday we were praying back here, and it seemed as though the Lord was putting on the heart of other people that were at the prayer meeting to seek His face specifically on how to reach Lakeside and what to do, and God has a plan. So, I just wanted to share a little bit of that with you and why it's so important to have that kind of heart and to have that kind of mind that says, Lord, I want to see Your work go out beyond these four walls. I want to see Your light go to other nations. I'm reminded of the scripture that says, too much is given, much is required, asked. Too much is given, much is... We're going to have to turn down the heat, and then we're just going to have to blast some cold air on you guys to wake up. Too much is given, much is required. And it's not a heavy thing. It isn't that God is saying, much is given, much is required. He's not saying that. He's saying, you know what, it's not that you got to, it's that you get to. You get to share the word. You get to take it to other places by prayer and by giving of yourself. It's not that you got to. It's not that I got to. Amen? Amen. Well, enough on that. And by the way, I have a little clipboard. What do you call those things? Clipboards. I have a little clipboard back there with a sign-up sheet, and it just basically says missions and then outreach, the name, email address, phone number. And if you have any construction skills, I think in the very near future we'll be going down to do some construction work. And I know we have a lot of construction skills. Taking small steps, going into Mexico, our neighbor, and going into a different culture and so on is important, and helping and giving. So we're taking small steps, but if you will sign up back there and maybe just put your construction skill, if you have a construction skill, if you don't, that's okay too, but just your name, so that way we can get together, we can keep in contact with hearts that are similar and, you know, with like-minded people. So, but please, don't feel in any way guilty or imposed upon. Don't think, well, you know, I got to do this because, you know, I mean, after all, you know, I don't want anybody to think that I, you know. But no, not at all, not at all. If God has really put it on your heart, or you, even if you have a remote inclination, you might say, well, I'm not really inspired. But if you just have a remote inclination, go ahead. Go ahead, and you'll see what God can do. Amen? ¿Cuántos pueden decir amén? Estamos aquí en Campo Santo. No? No. ¿Cuántos pueden decir amén? Okay, let's get into the Word. Let's go into Isaiah 46. By the way, I hope to make this short and sweet. We typically go till 11, so maybe just a few more minutes, and then I would just ask if anyone would have some needs that could be prayed about, that we would do that, you know, that we could pray for one another as a body, that we would learn to minister to one another, and we'd learn to pray for one another. Amen? Ah, hallelujah. Amen. Que Dios es bueno para siempre, and, you know, he's forever, right? Good, and Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46. Should be on the wall. I'll tell you why, because this is the New King James Version. We'll switch back to the NIV. It's just one of these days. Or maybe one of the 31 flavors that are in there, but it's because I got my old Bible, and I figured, well, I would just do that for the New King James. Oh, there it is. There it is. And it starts out, it seemed like one time the Lord, I was reading the scripture and the Lord said, hey, and I don't mean this in any irreverent way, it's just the way I hear, check this out. You know, so I did. And it says, Bel bows down, Nebo stoops, their idols were on the beast and on the cattle. Your carriages were heavily loaded, a burden to the weary beast. They stooped, they bowed down together. They could not deliver the burden, but have themselves gone into captivity. We know about Bel, we know about Nebo. They were principal deities of the Babylonian Empire, of that city-state. Bel really is just the Babylonian equivalent of the Baalim, or the Baals. The Baalim is just the plural of the Baals, and these false gods were supposedly responsible for the fertility of the field and so on. And Nebo is a god of science and of knowledge. But these were principal deities, false deities of Babylon. But it says here that they bowed down, that they stooped, that their idols were on beasts and on the cattle, and that they really could not deliver themselves. And it goes on to say, it seemed as though the Lord was saying to me, do you want to know one of the main differences between who I am and who all the other false gods are? Do you want to know what distinguishes me? Certainly many things do, but this is something that began to minister to me personally, because I was very burdened, and I began to think, maybe God has put these burdens on me or something of that nature. But the Lord began to minister to me, and he said, even though these false gods, they bow down and they cause the animals who tote them around to really be burdened, and that people who tote false gods will inevitably be burdened, you see. Part of the gospel light, as it goes into the world, it begins to bring forth the true and the living God, and to see those burdens come off people is wonderful. But in verse 3, he says, listen to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been upheld by me from birth. I think that's so wonderful. There's a gentleman here who's 93, and I don't mean to embarrass him at all. He's just a great fellow. He's Mac, and I was just talking with him a little bit, and he said that he knew Jesus at an early age. It's just a wonderful thing to see how God carries us all the way through. Our Lord carries us. We don't carry him. When I was in Mexicali and we were going on an outreach to we rented this, what was it? It was a wrestling arena. We rented it downtown. It was quite a deal. But, yeah, there's all kinds of pigeons in there. I remember that. It was a mess. But finally, the day came and we were handing out flyers and we were just getting ready, and we were working and getting ready. And I had my Econoline van down there packed with all kinds of guys, and we were just hanging up stuff everywhere, and I was complaining in my heart. I wouldn't complain out loud, you know, because I'm too spiritual for that, right? But I was complaining in my heart. So I was saying, Lord, I have to carry this gospel. I have to carry these guys. I have to carry your word. I have to carry you around. It's a burden to me. And he spoke to me gently and said, no, that's not me. That's not me at all. That's not me. It's something in your own mind and that you've made. But, he said, listen to me, O house of Jacob and the remnant of the house of Israel. You have been impelled by me from birth, who have been carried from the womb, even to your old age I am he, and even to your gray hairs I will carry you. I have made and I will bear you, even I will carry you and will deliver you. You see, what a wonderful promise and what a distinction between the false gods and the true and the living God. Oftentimes we make Christianity a burden, don't we? This is the idea of religion and a burden. It becomes a burden. Seems like every place I go, they just want stuff from me. It seems like, you know, we're always having to go beyond and I just want to hang out. Well, that's not the Lord. We have a misconception of God, if that's what we're feeling or what we're sensing. God isn't like that. Again, it's not that we got to serve him. Oh, no. It's that we get to. It's we get to. It's not that we are compelled to do what's right. Oh, God. No, it's that we get to. It's wonderful. It's great. It's uplifting. It's a joy. And so are we reminded of a scripture in Matthew 11:28? My whole class has just fallen asleep. Are we reminded of a scripture in Matthew 11:28? Come to me, all you weak and heavy laden, right? Does it sound like something Jesus would say to us? I can tell you could use a refresher. Let's put that up on there. I wasn't going to do it, but you guys need a refresher. Let's put that up. There it is, right. What does it say? And what else? And then it goes on, right? The next part. Yeah. Learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You see, that's our Lord. That's the truth of God in our lives. It's not a burden. We don't have to carry him. We don't have to carry the burdens anymore. Let's flip over to Isaiah 40 real quickly. And like I say, this is just going to be short and sweet. I know a lot of times we do exegetical teaching and all of that. And that's the best. And I'll leave that till later when Pastor Bill comes. But just a little quick topical thing here. And in Isaiah 40, verse 29, Daryl, verse 29. The Bible says that he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's our Lord. We're to cast our cares upon him, for he cares for us. Does that sound like 1 Peter? You're supposed to be, yes, cast our cares upon him. Sounds like 1 Peter, right? And so even here in this, in 41 even, we can just stay basically in this portion of the Bible, but in chapter 41 of Isaiah, verse 8, chapter 41, verse 8, he says, but to you, Israel, you are my servant, Jacob, and I have chosen the descendants of Abraham, my friend. We are part of Abraham's lineage. I think that's wonderful. In Second Corinthians, the first chapter, the Bible says that all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. So when you read these things, you might say, well, they don't apply to me as such. It only applies to Israel. And not to get weird here with displacement theology and all of that sort of thing, I believe that God has a separate plan for Israel. He's bringing it about. He's not done with them. The Bible states that clearly. But you can appropriate these, no problem. It's good. It's great. My servant Jacob, the descendants of Abraham, my friend, you whom I've taken from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest regions and said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not cast you away. Fear not. I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. This is our Lord. This is what he cares to do for us. He does require repentance, right? Right? The gospel isn't just a cheap message where we hand it out like, I don't know, fairy dust or something. Excuse me, I don't mean to offend anyone, but it isn't just a question of saying, well, you know, take care of me, God. He does, he does, he does. But he commands us to turn from the past. And he says, if you will put your trust in me and not in other things, if you will seek me, and when you have these times of darkness or whatever you're going through, if you will come to me, if you will rely on me, if you will lean on me, if you will put me first and put beside those things that so easily beset us, if we will repent and turn. Yes, it's a requirement of the gospel. Amen. So, he says, I will carry you. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. We don't have much time here because we're going to do some prayer, but let's just quickly go to Psalm 50. Psalm 50. It's a great psalm, of course. All the psalms are wonderful, great. But this one, Psalm 50, talks a little bit about what God is asking from us. What does he want? Again, many times we have a misconception, you know, he's here to bum me, he's here to, yeah. No, but he says in verse 9 of Psalm 50, I will not take a bull from your house, nor goats out of your folds, for every beast of the forest is mine and the cattle on a thousand hills. In other words, as they were coming with these offerings, even sometimes pre-functionary offerings, up, in other words, just going through the motions, but up above there, he says, I'm not going to rebuke you for those things. Even as we come to church many times and we just, if you're anything like me, go through the motions. God is saying, that's I'm not going to rebuke you for that. I'm not necessarily going to cause you to feel terrible about that. But I don't need a bull from your house. I don't need that stuff, nor goats of your folds. Nor for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field. They are mine. If I were hungry, if I needed that stuff, I wouldn't tell you, the Lord is saying, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. And will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Oftentimes we say, Lord, can we placate you with something that I'm bringing? No, that's not our Lord. But he says, what do I want? Offer to God thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. And pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the time of trouble or in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you and I will glorify you. Oftentimes, this is where God is most glorified. You say, well, I don't like the place I'm in. I don't like the hassle I have. I don't like the problem I'm dealing with. But God says, call upon me. Call upon me. It's okay to call upon others. It's fine. It's okay. That's what we're here for, to pray for one another, to help each other with burdens. But truly, God desires that we call upon Him and not just put our problems out there. Again, don't get me wrong. Please, share them. Let's pray for one another. But in our heart, the Lord is saying, listen, this is what I want. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. How important that is. God allows us to go through these times. I know there are many needs here amongst us. But God does allow us to find our place, find ourselves oftentimes, sometimes, in dark places. And He allows that so that we can learn to call upon Him and see His hand at work, right? We're not interested in the hand of man working in our lives. I don't mean this in any bad way, but Obama isn't going to save us. I mean, probably some of you know that already. I'm not telling you anything new, but He's not. God is. God is our help and our refuge and our strength. So I know many of you do go to the Lord. This is pleasing to Him. Call upon Him in the day of trouble. He hears us and He delivers us, and then we glorify Him. I don't mean this in any way to embarrass anyone, but do we have some needs here that you'd like to be prayed about or for? I mean, just if you do, just slip up your hand. And I know Tom is back there, and I know Dave will be coming in. And even so, if you don't or you don't want to slip up your hand, that's okay. But I would just encourage you to seek the Lord, maybe stay here a little bit extra, pray if you need to do that, if you desire to do that. I know that Janie said that she wanted to have some extra prayer for the Holmans, you know, Trev and Ellen, their grandbaby. You know that they are in prayer for that baby because she had a brain tumor and so on, right? Right, I think most people know. And so Janie wanted to have some special prayer for that. But listen, as the worship team comes up and we're getting ready to the close, just think about it. If you do need some prayer, ask, you know, and God will respond. So, yeah, if you could just come up. And Chris is just going to... The ladies and gentlemen here are going to just play a little music. And again, if you have any needs, just hang around. And I think the Lord is going to meet those needs. And Tom and Dave are back there as well. So if you need any extra prayer, just go ahead. So we usually dismiss at 11, and it's just about that. So if you could play a song or two, and then just dismiss.